How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making this part of your regular routine, even in the depths of August. We are here, John Corrales, Sam Jam Packard, to talk about Brad Stevens on the Chris Mannix podcast and playing a little game predicting the upcoming season's win totals. And it's all brought to you by SeatGeek. Get that SeatGeek app, figure out how to get your hands on some of the most prized tickets. Boy, I can't wait to see what that Cleveland Cavaliers Boston Celtics Pierce retirement night's going to go for. But you can get it on SeatGeek, and as much as you're going to pay, it's probably going to be the best deal you're going to find out there. We'll talk more about SeatGeek in a minute. But Sam, we are fresh off the Chris Mannix podcast, where Brad Stevens revealed, among other things, his Miss Pac-Man obsession, which actually was out a little bit before, but talked about. He actually has, this is actually cool, he has like the big actual arcade Miss Pac-Man in his house.
Yeah, you know I'm a sucker for any Brad Stevens personality talk, anything outside of basketball. So it was great to just hear him talk about his love of 80s video games. And it feels like Miss Pac-Man kind of just fits with the Brad Stevens persona. It feels like it's an analytical game where there's different strategies you can use to defeat whatever those ghosts are. But it was just awesome to hear. I'm all for it. Brad Stevens showing a little personality. I want to know what he, like, was that his game? Did Brad Stevens hang out in a local Indiana arcade and was just, like, feeding quarters to Miss Pac-Man until he finally defeated it? I just want to know more. It just is so exciting. This is, in August, this is a gem.
It is the greatest news to come out of the Celtics in a month like this. I picture him in a George Costanza-type Frogger situation where he finds his old Miss Pac-Man at a pizza place that's closing, and he's got the high score, and he wants to save it, and he hires a ragtag crew of misfits to extricate it from said store.
All of them versatile in their position.
All versatile, yes, absolutely. Nice segue. One of the other things he talked about was the Gordon Hayward situation and free agency and that mess. But then we get into that versatility. Hayward with some of the other guys that play, quote-unquote, the same position. And one of the things that was interesting is he talked a little bit about the lineups. And he got into it through the conversation of when Crowder got pissed off that people were cheering for Gordon Hayward when Utah came to visit. And he was asked if Jay kind of took it personally and how that's going to work out. And he's been saying kind of what we've been saying, and what I'm trying to get most fans, all fans, to understand is those guys are going to play together. He talked about it. Hayward with Crowder are going to play together with Jaylen Brown, with Marcus Morris, with Jason Tatum. He even mentions Semi Ojeleye. So, and I think it means that the Celtics are planning on using Ojeleye a lot. I don't think, you know, Ojeleye went in that second round, but I really do think that he's going to be one of those second rounders that gets used more than most second rounders. But Point is, these guys are all going to end up in the same lineup together sometimes.
Yeah, positions really do not exist. It's the thing that's been very frustrating about like all the kind of random Jay Crowder slander that has been on Twitter this summer. It was like, well, we got Hayward now, so you're clearly getting out of town. Like, you should be packing your bags. And it just doesn't make sense. Like, there's just because they both play traditionally the small forward position, there's no incentive for the Celtics to ever get rid of him. And it just feels like they're definitely going to play a number of lineups where there's upwards of two, probably three, some maybe even sometimes four guys who would traditionally be called small forwards. The Shemmy thing really surprised me, and I don't know if it was actually the Celtics planning on using him or kind of the Bill Belichickian motto of just trying to name everyone. You know, in kind of the press conference about the other team, Belichick will name all seven receivers they have and talk about how dangerous they are. Maybe it was just Brad Stevens being nice, but I was kind of intrigued that was in there, and I think that Brad is going to basically just... He also talked about how matchups are really going to dictate that and how other teams, sometimes they'll play a larger four, sometimes they'll play a quicker four, they go small as well. So basically, again, it comes back to the versatility and his ability to kind of mix and match is really going to dictate who plays, but I just think he likes having the ability to do basically any lineup he wants. With a few players who can only play guard, and then, like, that's about it. It's like Isaiah Thomas and Terry Rozier are, like, the only ones stuck in a position.
Basically, yeah, and like, Aaron Baines for the most part. But even he can play four or five. But he even mentioned, Brad Stevens even mentioned that Hayward could be a primary ball handler, which is a lineup that really intrigues me. And you can play him and Smart together and give Isaiah a break. And you can give Isaiah bigger breaks and kind of minimize his minutes in an effort to keep him healthy. I think that would be a big, big boost for the Celtics. I don't want Isaiah Thomas playing more than he has to. Every time he's out there above 32, 33, 34 minutes, it's more opportunity for his body to break down. And they did mention that Isaiah is going to get a scan in September for his hip to figure out exactly where that is and what the timeline for him returning at full strength would be. And once he is at full strength, we obviously want to keep him at full strength. And Hayward as the primary ball handler is an option. He can go out there and run the offense. And really, honestly, it's almost akin to a leadoff hitter in baseball. You're only leading off once. Once Hayward passes the ball and cuts, then the offense is being run. And then it doesn't really matter as much who the point guard is, quote unquote, if everyone has the ability to put it on the floor against a defender that might be slower than him, then you take advantage of that mismatch. But Hayward does have the ability to bring the ball across half court, initiate an offense, and get the thing going.
And it's super helpful just for the Celtics in transition. I think we saw Al Horford do this a number of times, but just to be able to quickly get into transition when the defender rebounds the basketball and immediately turns up the floor, it just leads to easier baskets and easier offense just because the defense has less time. And I think adding another player on the court with that ball handling ability is just going to be beneficial to the Celtics. The Stevens also mentioned in their interview, and I like that we're doing a podcast review of a podcast.
I know. That's not lost on me.
talked about how there was the kind of the Al Horford effect of Celtics offensive or wings playing with Al Horford. I think there's going to be a similar Gordon Hayward effect, and just the fact that he's a talented offensive basketball player who seems like he can do a little bit of everything, kind of in the vein of Al Horford. But it's interesting that he called Hayward the primary ball handler, because that makes me think they're preparing to do a lot of staggering with Isaiah and Hayward, which I think is the correct strategy. But you would want to have it so one of those guys is on the court at all times. So if you're not in transition, if you're running the half-court offense, you have two kind of great scorers there. Because one of the biggest Celtics problems last year was just their inability to kind of score consistently with Isaiah on the bench. And it's something that we saw in the Washington series. It felt like at home, the bench players made some shots, and so that kind of the scoring was there. And then on the road, the bench players didn't make the shots, and thus they couldn't really score without Isaiah. If they don't have any of those letdowns, their offense is going to be that much better. So it's just kind of a
I think it's a little bit of a nod to that they're planning and kind of staggering those two players just because, by saying that Hayward's a primary ball handler.
Yeah, I think that's a definite way to keep Isaiah fresh, and it's a definite way to solve that beginning of the second quarter issue that they had last season. And it also shows the ability to play Isaiah off the ball when he is with Gordon Hayward. You can use Gordon Hayward to initiate the offense and run your picks for Isaiah Thomas and have him use the Rip Hamilton, Ray Allen, multiple picks, you know, flying around the court and catching and shooting in those situations. So I think there is a lot of, I guess we'll just say, versatility. There are a lot of options when it comes to how you use Hayward with Isaiah, without Isaiah, and just it's all good. And in my watching everything that Hayward can do on the floor, there's just a lot that he can do. He can play in every conceivable way, especially if there's a mismatch. So he can take advantage of them in any spot on the floor. The other thing, basketball-wise, that we'll get to in this show before we have a little bit more fun is that he mentioned that Jaylen Brown needs to be a lockdown defender. And as great as it was that Jaylen was working on his offense, he needs to go out there and play defense and play the type of defense that can make up for the loss of Avery Bradley. And for him to specifically mention that and say it with force, you know how Brad Stevens likes to kind of, well, you know this and you know that, and he kind of couches everything and it kind of goes big picture. When it came to Jaylen, it was very direct, forceful. Jaylen needs to be a lockdown defender. And that is end of, there's no nuance to that. So I thought that was a really interesting thing. And it kind of, we've been talking about that on this show, but Jaylen needs to, and I think he can with his length and his foot speed. He has the physical tools to do it. Now the question is, can he actually defend at that level?
And it really feels like the Celtics are counting on him to make a big leap defensively, just because if you think about the type of personnel they have on the team, with Avery Bradley gone, they don't have a lot of players who can guard basically the traditional shooting guards and point guards at an elite level, other than Marcus Smart. But at some points, you're going to need to really guard those quicker players, and they're talked about this offseason. Jaylen's going to be guarding some twos and some ones. But that's the other thing with so much size that they have, is they don't have necessarily people who are as quick and able to guard kind of the quicker guards in the league. So it feels like they're really going to rely on Jaylen Brown to come out and be one of the people who can do that consistently for them. And I don't know in his second year how big of a jump he's going to make, but I thought it was, you're right, it's very interesting that Stevens would come out and say it like almost as like a motivating factor, like hoping Jaylen Brown's going to hear this, because I think the Celtics are really going to rely on this next season.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be able to see that firsthand, or anybody can see that firsthand, if you use the SeatGeek app and buy tickets to the Celtics wherever they go, home or road. You can use that SeatGeek app anywhere to get the best deal on tickets. You know, that's the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to any live event. They've got a seamless mobile experience where you can buy or sell tickets if you have tickets that you need to get rid of. If you can't go to a game, you can use the SeatGeek app to sell your seats. They will help you find the best seats for the best prices. It's fully guaranteed, and there's nothing like seeing your favorite team, musician, in person with SeatGeek. They get you closer to the action, and they get you the most bang for your buck because they grade every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the seats that fit your budget. Whenever I use the SeatGeek app, it's very simple for a guy like me that doesn't understand a whole lot to say, oh, green, that's a good deal. The yellow is, and the red, I stay away from the red because those are overpriced. And that's going to happen wherever you go buy tickets. So SeatGeek puts it out there. And on top of everything, it's fully guaranteed. So if something goes wrong, you can call their customer service, contact their customer service. They will take care of it, completely taken care of, no problem, fully guaranteed, so you can shop with confidence. So make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every ticket, from sports to concerts to comedy and theater. And when you do buy tickets, use the promo code LONBA. You will get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. That's promo code LONBA for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. So if you're going to use the SeatGeek app to buy those tickets to any Celtics games, why don't we figure out how many of those Celtics games are going to be wins and how many are going to be losses?
Ooh, that was I wasn't even ready for that transition. I'm going to be honest, I zoned out a little bit during the SeatGeek ad, and then you came right back at me. So let's see.
Got to stay on your toes with me, brother.
I know. So this is the game we're going to be playing. It's something I've done before on four podcasts of yesteryear. So essentially, we're going to go through each team in the league, and the way this schedule works in the NBA, for people who don't know, most of you guys do, the Celtics play their people in their division four times, everyone in the Western Conference twice, home and home. And then there's four teams in the Eastern Conference. They play three times, and the rest of the teams in the Eastern Conference, they play four times. So we're going to go through each of the teams. I'll tell you guys how many games the Celtics play against them, and me and John will try to guess out of those games how many we think the Celtics are going to win. So, makes sense.
I'm ready.
First team is the Atlanta Hawks, who the Celtics play four times.
That's four wins.
You're booking it for four wins immediately. Now, that I would have to agree with you. They lost pretty much any pieces they had that was remotely good. I'm a huge Taurean Prince fan, but even then, I don't think the Celtics should lose any of those games. Maybe if Dennis Schroeder has a crazy, like, anti-Isaiah game, but I just don't see it happen. So I'm going to agree with you there.
Yeah, they're going to be terrible.
Next team, another terrible team, who the Celtics play four times in the division, the Brooklyn Nets pick.
I will book them for three wins. I think there's going to be a stupid loss in there against the Nets.
Damn it, John. That is reasonable and exactly my reasoning when I was putting them in for three wins. That's all quite all right. All right, the new Charlotte Hornets with Dwight Howard and Malik Monk. The Celtics play them three times. Let me tell you which one. It's twice at home and only traveling to Charlotte once.
I'll say two wins.
I would say two wins as well, but I think they're going to be a two teams. That's one of those our tough team. That's one of those ones where it's like you could easily see the Celtics kind of blowing two games because I feel like the games against the Hornets have been pretty close over the past couple of years.
Yeah, I agree with you totally, except Dwight Howard, and there's something about he's gonna screw it up somehow.
All right,
I hate Dwight Howard. So.
I gather that. I feel like he might have a resurgence. Isn't Steve Clifford the Dwight Whisperer?
Yeah, maybe, but whatever. Let's move on. Let's move on because I'm not buying it.
The next team is the Chicago Bulls, the contending for the number one draft pick, Chicago Bulls, four times.
I feel like we're piling up a lot of wins early,
that's the thing about this game is you get very confident and you end up predicting 75 wins for the Celtics.
How can they not beat the Bulls four times?
It doesn't make sense why they wouldn't.
They're going to be absolutely horrible. I mean, they could be the worst team in the league.
They should be. They might buy out Dwayne Wade, too. I saw some rumor of that. So they're going to be really, really bad, and there's going to be no like incentive for them to try. So I'm going to say four games as well. So far, we've agreed on all of them. I'm guessing that will change with the Cleveland Cavaliers, who the Celtics play three times, including on opening night. The other two games are at home. One is the Paul Pierce game, so I think we take that into consideration.
Yeah. Okay, so here's my... I'll say one. I'm going to say one. Because I think opening night is going to be tough.
LeBron's going to be so furious.
He's
going to
be pissed off. I think Pierce night. See now, Pierce night. I can go either way. I have this feeling that LeBron is going to be super, super motivated to ruin Pierce Knight.
Oh, yeah. That's one of his first rival, basically.
Yeah. I think he's going to want to come out and just shit all over Pierce Knight. So, it pains me to say that. I think he's going to have like one of those games that the Celtics will play well, but LeBron does something stupid like drop 50. I think they'll take one of those games, but I'm going to put him down for one against Cleveland. That sucks. I hate that. I hate that that's my reasoning, but
it made sense to me. But I'm going to have to disagree with you here just because we still don't know about the Cleveland kind of locker room situation right now, and who knows what the actual makeup of their team is. And I'm like really banking on their like clubhouse chemistry being absolutely awful for the entire year, and just like people hating playing for the Cavs, and it's just having a terrible effect. I'm pretty sure that's what's going to tank their entire season. And with that being said, LeBron's going to destroy the Celtics on opening night. So I'm going to give the Celtics 2 wins.
All right. I hope you're right. I'm sure people listening, I'm sorry. I know you want to hate me right now. You've probably already sent the tweet mid podcast blasting me. It's totally deserved. I'm sorry. But yeah, I'm going to stay with the 1 win. Ugh.
All right, next up, the Dallas Mavericks. This is the first Western Conference team, so the Celtics play a home-and-home 2 games.
I will... Where in the schedule is that road game?
Road game is November 20th. Let me see what the schedule is around them.
That's going to be... They play Saturday in Atlanta. Then they play
Monday in Dallas. It's a reasonable game. Second night of a 3-game road trip.
Yeah.
Not a schedule loss.
No, it's not. It's not. And there's, you know, they got Miami that next night. There's nothing to look ahead to. I'll say they win both those games.
All right, I'm going to go with 1, just because for some reason last year, Harrison Barnes was, like, super fucking good at scoring against the Celtics. And it just made no sense, but it feels like one of those, like, things that just is kind of, it's working for them. So I'm always weary against the West Coast, because you only play the Western Conference, you only play those teams twice. There can be just some weird matchups sometimes, and I feel like you always end up losing some Western Conference games that you probably shouldn't. So I'm going to go 1. You're going 2?
I'm going 2, yeah.
All right, the next team is the Detroit Nuggets. By Detroit Nuggets, I mean Denver Nuggets.
Denver is going to be a weird team. I think they can be good. I think they're going to be like... Denver might be this year's darling team. Like last year it was Utah. I think Denver might be this year's darling team. How many times did they play Denver?
Twice, Western Conference.
Right. You know, they've got Millsap now.
Plus the altitude, man. They have to go to Denver.
Altitude, yep. I'm gonna say they lose both those games.
Ooh, bold play. I was going to go with 1-1. I think you're also just reacting to the fact that we had so many wins against Eastern Conference teams building up that you don't want to be too out there. But I agree. Denver's going to be a very tough team. Millsap's a great addition. Jokic is amazing. You just would have to imagine Jamal Murray might actually be able to shoot soon. They just have a good young core, and it feels like they're coached well, so... I was definitely going to go with 1 game because I just can't confidently say they're absolutely going to beat them twice.
So here's I'm looking at the schedule now, and the Celtics do San Antonio, Detroit, Chicago on the road. Denver's the first night back, and Utah is the next game. So you get the first night back after a road trip, and Utah at home. That's a look ahead game. So that home game against Denver could be a schedule loss. And then the road game against Denver is the last game of a 4-game trip. Lakers, Clippers, Golden State, and then Denver at the end. That might be They do have one day off in between the Golden State and Denver, but that's a tough last game of the road trip. So yeah, I'm gonna say they lose both those games.
I like it. Moving on to Detroit, who the Celtics play three times. This is Avery Bradley coming back.
Detroit. They're not going to be bad. They're not going to be good, but they're not going to be bad.
Did you know Detroit was called the Little Caesars Arena?
That's new this year. Because they moved from the Palace. They're not in Auburn Hills anymore. They moved to a new arena. This is their first season in a new arena downtown. Yeah.
You always hear beat writers complain. It's like, oh, it's so far from the airport or something. Like, oh, I'm glad they'll stop doing that. But
yeah, I'm gonna give them two out of three against Detroit.
Yeah, that would make sense to me. I would actually Detroit. The matchup against Andre Drummond always is intriguing because it's the kind of exact type of player that you would think it kind of sometimes does give the Celtics trouble, just someone with that much size and rebounding. But it feels like Drummond can never really play at the end of the game. They're very quick to go to Hackett Drummond. I'm going to agree with you and go two. I think that makes sense, but sometimes there's just like the games against Detroit last year were also pretty close. I think I remember a buzzer beater in Detroit. So, and it seems they definitely got better by adding Avery Bradley. He's going to be motivated to play against this new team, but I still think the Celtics are a better team. All right. The team that ruined basketball, Golden State Warriors. Celtics play them twice.
They always get one win against Golden State, don't they? They find a way to have a crazy win. They've beaten them once each of the past two seasons. So I'm going to say it continues. Why wouldn't I? They're going to have a crazy win against Golden State. That's the game before the Denver game, right? That's their big win. So Denver is going to be the big letdown. So yeah, I'm going to say that they'll do one of those crazy win in Golden State games. And then get smoked at home.
Their win in Golden State last year came while Kevin Durant was hurt. And there was like the first game they were kind of adjusting to it or early game. I'm going to go with zero wins. I think the Warriors are the best team in basketball. And they're going to beat the Celtics twice. They're good.
All right. Fair enough.
Next team, the new super team in the West, the Houston Rockets, adding Chris Paul to James Harden, two games.
Ooh, that's a tough one. Yeah, they're gonna be so tough to guard, and I just to throw Chris Paul and James Harden, and they still have Ryan Anderson, and you know Capella's no slouch. I say they go 0-for against Houston.
Yeah, no, that was my initial reaction too, just trying to think about it. It's something I mentioned earlier with Jaylen Brown. How do they guard both Chris Paul and James Harden? I guess James Harden's kind of is larger, so that you could throw out guys like Hayward and maybe Crowder on him. But I have to agree that it just feels like the Rockets got better as well as the Celtics. I still think the Celtics are have the ability to take one from them. It feels like... the Rockets are a little bit too predictable in their three-point shooting, and maybe if they have a bad shooting night, the Celtics can get in there with a win. And the Celtics are going to have a really great offense too, and I think they're going to be in the top of the league with the Houston Rockets. So I think there's definitely a chance, probably at home, that the Celtics can outscore them. I think they have a chance to take one, but I agree with you, it's going to be a tough matchup. All right, okay. Next up. All right, I realize this is going on long, so we still have the whole half of the league to go. So we'll blaze through this. Indiana, four times. Victor Oladipo. Oh,
they're going to be terrible. But I'll say three. There's going to be one stupid loss there.
I'm going to say that the Pacers are going to be terrible. I'm going to go with four, but you're right. They're a trash team. The L.A. Lakers.
Sweep.
I would have to agree. The L.A. Clippers. Oh, we have to talk about how we really hope Magic Johnson gets caught for tampering.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome. He won't, because that's just there, unless you got to do something super goddamn stupid to be caught for tampering. Like there has to be a paper trail. There's no way that they get caught. If they do, that would be amazing. But one question I got on Twitter today, and I forgot to answer because I've been traveling all day, is there is some concern out there that if they get caught, they lose a draft pick, but the Celtics potentially have rights to next year's draft pick. I would think that if they do get caught and if they do get penalized a draft pick, it would be the one that they haven't committed rights to. So just to answer a Twitter question to somebody who I hope listens, but I don't remember who it is, I don't think it would affect the Celtics potentially having that pick. So, but man, that would be amazing if Magic got the job and immediately tampered and it cost them the ability to get the guy that they tampered.
That would be the best penalty, is that Paul George is forbidden from going to the Lakers. That just would laugh. That would be perfect. That would be great. And I saw someone tweet this, so I can't remember who it was, but they said, I wish that Larry Bird was still on the general manager of the Pacers just so we could do another Magic versus Bird. This would be another chapter, is the great tampering where Larry was like wearing a secret wire and got Magic on tape tampering with Paul George. That would be perfect.
Oh, it'd be awesome.
All right, next team would be the Clippers. Two games.
Boy, the Clippers. You know, I'll say they split against the Clippers. They still got DeAndre. They still got Blake. They've got some nice new additions. They're not trash. I think if healthy, they're a really super interesting team. So I would say, they'll split.
I'd have to agree with you. I think Blake is still good. DeAndre is still good. You never know on the West Coast trips and how that's going to play out. It's just, I have to acknowledge halfway through this that our method is very unscientific, but it's a summer junk game for a reason.
Yeah.
All right. The Memphis Grizzlies, two games.
Two games against the Grizzlies. They're so hard to figure out. I'll say they win both.
That was going to be my reaction as well. For some reason, I'm just real down on the Grizzlies. I just feels like the Chandler Parsons signing just like reigns over that franchise. It was just, I've never been a big Chandler Parsons guy. And it feels like all of my feelings are wrapped up in Chandler Parsons. It's right, because I like a big Marc Gasol fan and Mike Conley. I think they're solid players. They also lost Zebo. I don't know. I just don't have much confidence in the Grizzlies to be good next year. So I'm going to say two wins as well.
Yeah. They lost grit and grind, and I love Marc Gasol too, but he's not going to, they just don't have enough.
Next up, Miami Heat with Kelly Olynyk they've never had to play positional defense like this. so you just have to factor that in before you, come to town. Only one home game. The return of Kelly Olynyk, guys, is December 20th. Actually, that's going to be their third game against the Heat. So they get all their three games against the Heat done in the first 3 months of the season.
Yeah. You forgot that they got Jordan Mickey, too.
Oh, you know what? I didn't even know that. I apologize.
Yeah.
I apologize to people for not keeping up with Jordan Mickey.
I'll say they split. Oh, no, wait. They play three. They'll take two.
Yeah, you never can know with Miami. Goran Dragic is a pest. Deion Waiters is Deion Waiters, and he can do some crazy things sometimes. I also I'm completely blanking. James Johnson. I thought he had some good games against the Celtics last year, and plus the Kelly Olynyk factor. He's just such a threat, a versatile threat from deep. He's going to change their entire team. But I still think the Celtics are better, so I'm going to think they're going to go two wins. Next up, a sneaky contender for someone who may be kind of a top four team in the East, and not really that sneaky, the Greek Freak, Giannis, and the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, he is so damn good.
Yeah. They play four times.
Four times. I don't know what... Is Jabari Parker going to be back for the season? Like, he's getting healthy, right?
I believe so. I have no reason to think otherwise.
Yeah, I think they split. I think they split. They take two against Milwaukee.
Yeah, no, I was going to say we're agreeing too much. That's I think we just great minds think alike because
yeah.
It feels like there's no way you can confidently say the Celtics are going to win three. And this game is just like so much about going with your gut reaction about two teams, and it's just like Milwaukee's a damn good team, and you can see them. If they're not on the same tier as the Celtics, they're directly below them. So it's really no way you can say the Celtics are that much better.
Yeah, they could very easily. We talk about the tiers in the NBA, Cleveland, whatever, with their mess. But you put them at one. The Celtics are at two with Toronto and Washington right behind them. Milwaukee is kind of penciled in right behind those two teams. But they could easily challenge. I would if Milwaukee ended up with the third seed in the East when all is said and done, it's like mildly surprising, but not really. Like you're like, yeah, you know, it's better than I thought. But that is there. Everything goes right. They could be a third seed. I could see it.
No, they're going to be good. And you just think Giannis is going to get that much better. And so maybe Brogdon gets better. Maybe Thon Maker gets better as well. It's just they are a dangerous team. And I would imagine they're probably the three or four seed in the Eastern Conference. All right, next is going to be a tough team who got a lot better this offseason in trading for Jimmy Butler is the Minnesota Timberwolves. Two games.
Play them twice. I'll go with the split on that.
Yeah, that would make sense. We don't really have anyone who can match up with Karl Anthony Towns, and maybe he goes supernova, but I feel like they're still building something in Minnesota with Andrew Wiggins being so young that you just don't. That's just the gut reaction. All right, the New Orleans Pelicans, two games.
You know, I'll say split there too because the size I think presents a problem, and assuming that Boogie can stay on the court and there's no foul trouble, I think that'll be tough. So I'll say we split.
I'm going to go with two wins for the Celtics. I just don't believe in the Pelicans at all when Drew Holiday is making that much money and Solomon Hill is making that much money. They're really like a 2.5 deep team. Like there's not a lot of good things on there. Not even James Young will save the New Orleans Pelicans. So I just think the Celtics are going to get two wins.
Awesome.
Next, the New York Knickerbockers for four games.
Well, that's four wins.
Yep. The Knicks are terrible. That was easy. The Oklahoma City Thunder, two games.
Oh, boy.
Westbrook plays well. It feels like Marcus Smart pisses him off, and he always plays well against Marcus Smart. And then they added Paul George.
But Marcus Smart goes crazy in Oklahoma City. Like, just has monster games going back. I'll go with the split.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the split as well, but I just remember the game last year where it was just like, I think it was both games last year where it was Russell Westbrook in the fourth quarter and the Celtics just had zero ways to stop him. And I don't think losing Avery Bradley helps that situation at all. They're a dangerous team. I could easily see the Celtics getting swept by them, but I just think the Celtics are better and probably have more depth. I have a gut feeling. Orlando Magic, four games.
Oh boy, I want to say four wins against Orlando, but doesn't Orlando always come up with some stupid win? So I'll say three. I'll say three because there's going to be a stupid loss to them.
Oh, you hit it on the head again. There always is a dumb loss to Orlando. It feels like it's always in Orlando, and it's like directly in the middle of the season. And there's just it's one of those nonsense games you overlook because it's Orlando.
Yeah.
This next one's pretty interesting to me. It's the Philadelphia 76ers for four games. And it's really interesting because when Joel Embiid was in the game for the 76ers in the games they played last year, it really felt like the Sixers were played better than the Celtics. In one game, Isaiah had to go crazy and kind of bail them out. Then there were some other games where Embiid wasn't playing, but it felt like the Celtics didn't have any match for Embiid. And the Sixers have added Ben Simmons. He's actually going to be playing, even though he's a whiny little baby about his 2K rating, and then Markelle Fultz. So I think my initial reaction would just say they split, but with Philly. I just think Philly is...
Damn it. I was going to say the same thing, honestly. Okay, this is, we may have to edit this out because it's so like, oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. No, I'm going to say because it's the thing that would piss me off the most is to have them split, because then everybody's going to lose their damn minds over, you know, the Fultz trade and every, yeah, it's going to be one of the most annoying storylines of the season. I agree. They'll split.
Next one up is the Phoenix Suns. I'm just going to pencil myself in for 2 games. How do you feel about that?
yeah, they had that another, I keep saying the phrase stupid losses, but that loss where,
at the buzzer, Tyler Ulis.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say they split.
Ooh, bold play. I think the Suns are going to be terrible.
They are going to be terrible, but it's going to be something about that.
Next one, the Portland Trail Blazers. That's always kind of the northernmost place they play on the West Coast. It's always either the start or the end of a West Coast trip.
Yeah, I'll go with a split there.
I would have to agree. Sacramento Kings. Sans Boogie Cousins with De'Aaron Fox.
Sweet.
You're right. Just mentioning De'Aaron Fox, it made me think of Dennis Smith Jr., and I'm looking back, I'm glad I gave the Celtics only one win, because I think Dennis Smith Jr. is going to be amazing. That just popped in my head. Next one's interesting. San Antonio Spurs, who the Celtics have not beat in, it feels like, 6 or 7 years.
Yeah. They may... No, you know what? I'll give them one. I'll give them a win against the Spurs.
I can't do it. Until I see it happen, I just can't do it. It's going to be tough. Another very interesting one is the Toronto Raptors, who the Celtics play for 4 games because they're in the same division.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one. They'll split that.
I would have to agree. Toronto, they were able to get rid of Damari Carroll. Wasn't that like useful of a player? The Celtics have really not ever had a sound answer for DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. Those games have always been tough, so I think the two makes the most sense. It feels like the safe play. Utah Jazz, Gordon Hayward going back to Utah. Like that famous notorious B.I.G. song, going back to Utah.
Yeah, sweep that.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that makes sense with the... For some reason, I'm still thinking of the Utah Jazz as the team with Gordon Hayward and Rudy Gobert, but they don't have Gordon Hayward anymore, so they're going to be much less good at basketball. And I remember Isaiah Thomas feels like he just cooks Rudy Gobert every time. Like, Rudy Gobert just doesn't able to deal with someone that small. So I'm going to agree with you. Again, 2-2. Finally, 4-part funeral, the Washington Wizards.
I'm going to stay with the split on this, too. I mean, they've split everything. So, why not split those two?
You're being too logical.
I know. That's really my biggest problem.
Yeah, I think it's just the problem. That's why we're not on local sports talk radio, is that we just...
Too logical for sports talk radio.
We just got to have these well-reasoned takes. All right, I'm adding up the win totals as we speak on Excel. Dragging the box over. All right. So it turns out that I was actually more optimistic than you are. I predicted the Celtics would win 57 games, and you predicted the Celtics would win 54 games, which...
Wow. Okay.
I think that completely justifies this innate exercise, because that's kind of around the area. I would say that's a range of where I expect the Celtics to be.
54 to 56.
Be this year. So congratulations to us for putting together a brilliantly scientific experiment to determine how many games the Celtics are going to win.
Yeah. Well, early on, I thought, like you said, we're going to be like, oh, geez, it's going to be like 60 some odd games. And we're going to have to like, well, maybe they won't. But yeah, 54 games. I could see 54 to 56. Like I said, I've been saying throughout the season, off season, somewhere north of what they won last year, I would have probably said 56 before all of this, and I'll still stick with that. I'm gonna say I'll be wrong a couple of times maybe, but 56 sounds good. And if everything goes right, and if they have one of those, you know, really like above expectation seasons, they could sniff 60, but 56 sounds about right. 54 to 56 sounds right.
And the thing is, like, when going through this list is all the bad teams they get to play four times. The Hawks, the Nets, the Bulls, the Knicks. There's just a lot of Orlando. There's just all the what kind of the worst teams in the league. They get to Indiana. They get a crack at them four times. So it's just an easy way to pile up a bunch of wins. It feels like I hadn't really gone through the schedule that much in depth, but looking at the numbers now, like the teams they have four against are definitely beneficial to them. So I'm not I wouldn't be too surprised if they won upwards of 55 games.
Yeah, I mean, look, we split on Philly. But it depends. Like, if Philly doesn't come together, if they have some problems or injury issues, shockingly, they could easily sweep that series. You know, there are wins in here that, you know, even like Toronto. Toronto, they're an interesting team with Ibaka. I don't know how much better he really makes them, but they had to roll with Ibaka. And I have questions about that. I said split, but like you said, that's a safe play. It's possible. It's possible that they could take three games out of that, and especially if there's another injury or anything like that. But I'm kind of curious about what the Raptors are really going to be this season.
Yeah, for some reason in my head, the Celtics are clearly better than them, but then when it came time to kind of choose the win totals, they're not better enough that I think it's like I felt confident in predicting three wins. But if you talk about just how they're going to play and where they're going to finish in the rankings, for some reason I'm just like, my gut is telling me it's Celtics, 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 but then they're not that much better. And I think it's mostly lies in the fact of how tough the Raptors played them last year. But I agree with you. They're not they didn't really take a leap of sorts. They're kind of just kind of hovering around the same place. So maybe they figure something out, but they did have a crazy, like, efficient offense last year. But maybe they take a step back. You're right. The thing about this is there's so many – we should have done this if, like, we should have, like, locked them in like we were cool podcast guys. But there's some that just, like, you can go either way. Like, a give a game here or there. There's some real toss-ups. But then, like, if I had to lock anything in, I would say they're going to beat Indiana four times.
Right. Right. I mean, look, it's just what it is. I'm not going to lock in, especially against a team like Toronto or even Washington. Washington kind of stayed put, and the Celtics got better. So it's just going to be interesting to see what the Celtics did, how that matches up. You know, and we sort of looked at where they play in the schedule, but there's still schedule influences that we didn't take into account. In most of these, the second half of the Celtics season, there's a lot more rest in between those games. So, for example, the Celtics play the Pacers on a Sunday at 7:30. Then they play the Wizards three days later on Wednesday at 8:00. So a couple days rest. That's one of the games that they could win. They don't have a lot of time in between games early in the season, so those could end up being tougher. You know, whatever, that's fine.
Yeah, and we're also
I'm comfortable.
There's a whole injury thing that could happen and ruin all of this, but that's, you know what, it's August, we got to get by, and we did it. We entertained the people and we gave them something to think about,
hopefully. So you guys heard all of our predictions. Go to the SeatGeek app and figure out where we might have been wrong. Or figure out, like, oh, they said they're going to split. We'll figure out which two games they're going to win against Toronto. And you can get get your tickets through the SeatGeek app there. And remember, use the promo code LONBA to get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All right. We hope you guys are enjoying your August. We hope you guys didn't go blind looking at the eclipse. And we hope that you come back and visit us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, and that you rate us 5 stars. And if you are not a subscriber, please subscribe. Give us that rating. Give us a good review. Let the people know that we are here for you, even in the dead of August, doing fun things, predicting the season, and talking Celtics for you. We are here for you on a regular basis. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.